Assalamu alaikum. It's so easy to turn strangers into monsters. The less you know about them, the easier it is to rob them of their humanity. This is what the West has done to the Islamic world over the last couple of decades, and it's an ugly thing to live through. Despite the fact that every Arabic country arguably has its own different set of attitudes, its own flaws and virtues, many of us will take a hard line and say the whole of Islam is our enemy. This may have been understandable in the time of the Crusades, when the growing Muslim force may as well have been a Martian invasion so far as these lance-wielding, ruby-crazy European Christians were concerned. But in an age of information where the world is suddenly 100,000 times better connected, it's absolutely inexcusable. One thing I find about exposing yourself to a people's art is it makes it impossible to deny their humanity when you're swaying your hip to their music, burying yourself in their literature, and being emotionally swept away by their movies and paintings. I'm reading a pretty wild medieval proto-sci-fi by Ibn al-Nafis right now from 800 years ago called The Theologus Autodidactus, which is about a dude born from a cave that's also an egg, who hooks up with shipwrecked sailors and then witnesses the end of the world. The medieval Arabic world was without doubt the greatest center of learning after the Roman world collapsed. Unfortunately, the West has always been pretty self-obsessed. From the earliest of Greek histories down to today, we for the most part find the world outside of Europe and America a total enigma, probably not worth unfurling. Well, brothers and sisters, the buck stops here. If it's timeless and tantric ceremonial music you're after, I'll play some of that. If it's mad keyboard-heavy dance music, I've got that too. As well as Arabic, psych, chanson, various other curios. I've gathered dozens of compilations over the last few years which chip away at Islamic music from various angles. Of course, an hour is nowhere near enough to even begin to cover the music. Almost half the world put out over the 100 years or so of the record industry. But what the hey, I'll certainly give it a shot, as that Allah can do.
سبع سماوات
I'm not religious, but being a man of extremes, if I were, I'd definitely relate to Sufism. These cats will push their bodies and minds to extreme lengths to reach those celestial heights where Allah apparently dwells. I don't know if you've ever danced and danced and danced until your mind quits that overloading chatter that it does, and you become like some pure, primal, primitive being. This is one of the methods used in Sufism by people like the whirling dervishes and indika ceremonies like the one I just played to get closer to God while still on earth. It sure beats singing all things bright and beautiful on a cold Sunday morning in a church, if you ask me. There are two long-running many-volume series on Islamic music that I know of. That extract from a dhikr ceremony can be found opening up the first volume of one of them, Music in the World of Islam, this one focusing on the human voice with all manner of zealous chanting in tongues to be found. It's a pretty wild listen. After that you heard a cut from Sublime Frequency's brilliant 1970s Algerian proto-Rai underground. It seems like most countries have hints of an underlying folk tradition in their music, some buried deeper than others. Rai merges the ancient music picked up by the transient Bedouin people in their constant travels with some feistier pop stylings. I've got a couple other comps of this stuff, and it usually sounds like a strange mix of synthesizer-driven pop songs with traditional instruments like ouds. I guess this comp catches it in an early, almost psychedelic stage. It's a truly great set of horn-heavy, groovy tracks. And next, the utterly alien opening song from last year's Cat, Coffee and Numbers compilation. Going on the liner notes, evidently DJ Chris Menist scoured the record stores of Yemen looking for examples of their weird, utterly unique merging of percussive East African music and Arabic traditions. Evidently, these coffee pickers would occasionally get high on their own supply, as a nervous, caffeinated air runs throughout the whole compilation, which is probably my favourite VA of 2012.
Thank you. ما أحبه مخلوق. ما سارعت وأنا أهلا ما سارعت وأنا عليه ملبوب وأنا عليه ملبوب. لا 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 فارقنا لا أهلا وذي فارقنا لا 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 كاتب ثواب لا لا كاتب ثواب. جعلت جهنم كل لا جعلت جهنم كل لا كل يوم عذاب كل يوم عذاب. الحب ما منه أهلا الحب ما منه منه إلا خلينا الفرقة أهلا خلينا الفرقة فرقة ومسيتي هاي فرقة ومسيتي هاي. ارحمني استعلم استعلم عليك شنجة استعلم عليك شنجة. حرم علي من أهل حرم علي من لا من فراقك ارتا لا من فراقك ارتا.
Earlier in the show, I mentioned there were two humongous series of indigenous Islamic music, and I played something from my favourite of the two, the Music of Islam. It globetrots through the whole Arabic world, from Morocco to Indonesia, Tunisia to the Sinai, and every volume I've heard has been entrancing. One of the more energetic volumes covers the Nubian people of Egypt, who hearken back to around the same time as the ancient Egyptians, even ruling over them for a spell. Singing and making a loud racket seems to be a universally human trait, and these songs sung at the market, at weddings, and while playing games really swoop you up into what their everyday life today must be like. And then you heard from a woman who can only be described as the Elvis Presley of the Arabic world, Kalthoum. And I don't mean that she shook her hips and sung about hound dogs. I mean she was so incredibly popular that she could make or break elections if she so wanted. Even political leaders were afraid to mess with her, saying she was as firm an institution of Egypt as the pyramids. I was listening to a BBC radio documentary about her funeral recently, and it seems millions turned out to see her off. Her immense popularity is interesting, as the songs I have on a collection called Mother of the Arabs sound extremely personal and emotional. There's not a blasé or self-consciously populist note to be found in all of her music. In fact, I'd say it actually takes a few listens to really sink in, but when it does, her quavering emotive voice latches onto you like a lamprey and doesn't let go. Traditional Arabic pop songs tended to be long. Really long. I won't have enough time to play some of Kalthoum's peers like Marie Jubran, as even her shortest cuts tended to veer into the 15-minute range. I will, however, squeeze in a live recording from the Lebanese legend Fayrouz next, with some utterly addictive string melodies. If dreamy female voices you can fall in love with are your fan, well, Lebanon's particularly good at breeding femme fatales, so you might want to look into their music scene. We'll be right back.
Sini morada.
Thank you.
Taha, Khalid and Faudal's live album 1-2-3 Soleil has one of the most enthusiastic audiences I've ever heard. Along with the 80s compilation Rye Rebels, it's the best introduction to Rye you'll likely hear. And then you heard an example of the absolutely mental dance genre Dabka, which, believe it or not, are actually Arabic wedding songs. I'd attend far more weddings if they played music like that instead of Robbie Williams and Lady in Red. Dabka's a relatively recent love affair of mine, but the compilation Dabka, Sounds of the Syrian Huran, and all of Omar Suleiman's releases are worth getting for sure. I play them while I'm out cycling all the time, and without realizing it, I immediately start cycling twice as fast whenever I have this stuff blasting in my ears. One of the coolest things I've discovered recently is the Fez Festival of World Sacred Music. Forget your Coachellas and your Glastonburys. This sounds like the music gathering of gatherings. I have recordings taken from several of the festivals that took place over the 90s, and the range of beautiful music on display is staggering. And the fact that it doesn't say, "You're Sikh, so you can come in, but you're Hindu, so get out of here," is particularly inspiring. The song, in fact, unites Jewish and Muslim people in song. They both worship Abraham as a prophet, so these musicians used that as a launching pad to come together. And why not throw in a children's choir while they're at it? Considering the nasty state of affairs in Palestine, or what's left of it, it becomes even more special a recording. 1,000 salams for listening, and remember, monsters are mythical, but humans are very, very real.
ضل بالحمى وحق لمثلي رقة أن يسلم سلام سروا وظلام الليل سروا وظلام الليل أرخى فقلت لها صبا غريبا متيما وقالت أما يكفيه أني بقلبه